Hello. Good morning. Hi, good morning. Welcome, everybody. My name is Walter Eikenboom, and I will be presenting Fighting Fire to the Cloud. In this session, I want to show you what you need to go from a normal infrastructure with object-oriented services to a line of business application type of infrastructure and making more automation possible, so it's more a dynamic infrastructure. What we will be handling in this session, I will show you in Operation Manager how to create a line of business application, and I will be telling you about the things you need to have in place beside the technology to actually get there. Next, I will be showing you Service Manager connected up to Ops Manager, making sure there's a lot of automation within the System Center 2012 suite. And finally, I will be analyzing some data to show your top events and making sure you handle the right things which are creating your most time, taking up the most of your time. Finally, I will be automating that top one incident with Orchestrator to make sure the service is up and running again when something happens and it's completely automated. So a few takeaways from my session. I hope these are the things you will remember after this session, that you need to stop following incidents in your infrastructure. You need to register and analyze the stuff that's collected in your operation manager, in your monitoring infrastructure, and you need to describe these steps, because when it's not clear what's going on inside your infrastructure, you can't really handle that stuff, because every time it's a new incident, and every time it's fighting fire in your infrastructure, and you're not structuring that. Now, one of the other thing is how to automate that stuff. Make sure you got the correct steps, so you have a clear overview on how to automate that. And finally, you have to create a process around that, because when you do a one-time analysis of the events and alerts in your infrastructure, in your service manager, then you just fix one thing. So you need to have a process in place to actually have a review every week or every month, so you can actually fix your top incidents and processes. Now, I want to shortly introduce myself and tell how I got the idea of this session. My name is Walter Eikenboom. I'm from the Netherlands. I work for a company in the Netherlands that's called Innovatief. We have a few guys in Belgium as well, and we mainly focused on System Center 2012, and we're doing a lot of private cloud projects at this moment. But before that, I was in the Navy for 10 years, and within that time, I went to Yugoslavia, the Yugoslavian War in the 90s, and before you go in such an environment, you get a really extensive training. Within that training, we went to the UK for around 6 weeks, and within that 6 weeks, there are all kinds of drills, every possible imaginable drill that was necessary to have the ship up and running, you would practice there in a period of 6 weeks. So when we got there, we had fire drills and damage control drills. And with those fire drills in machine engine rooms and different compartments, there was always 2 points of feedback we got from the referees that were on board the ship. It's always communication and procedures. And that's something that I will show later that's really reflected in IT as well. The processes, the procedures when fighting a fire need to be very tight, because when they're not, you can't really contain the fire, because it could switch over to other compartments and that would really endanger your ship. One of the second points of feedback we always got was communication. The responsible personnel on different points within the vessel didn't communicate the right things, always in an order type of fashion, not giving a location or not giving what's really going on or how many people are injured. So with that in mind, we learned that there, and a few years later I went into IT and I started working for a hospital. And the first thing I noticed there is that service desk got a call from an end user. He asked something, and when it was not a functional question, it was always an incident. It was always escalated to a second tier or a third tier engineer. I was one of the second tier engineers. So everything that went wrong in that infrastructure, which became an incident, was always an escalated incident. It was almost never fixed at the first level. So things I've put in this slide are the things you hear almost on a daily basis. So it's a real time consuming job. You've got a pool of highly skilled personnel, and they're doing the same thing over and over and over again. And it was never analyzed, so there was never a good feeling on what took up our time. We were always busy, we were deploying new projects, but we never had time to actually optimize our infrastructure. So after that, when working there for a couple of years, I went into a consulting firm, and I met one of my good friends, Stefan Stranger. He's one of the operation manager MVPs, and he's currently working for Microsoft. And I got introduced to MOM 2005. So we were implementing that at a lot of customers. And what we did there is just give the technology to give an insight in your infrastructure. And that was pretty cool stuff, and it was really working. You got a good insight on what was happening in your infrastructure. But we didn't connect to the organization. And that's where I remembered what we did, fighting fire. When we need to make communication lines really clear, and we need to make sure we really need to make sure how an organization is put together to really make it effective, handling incidents and creating workflows and optimizing your data center. So one of the things we used a lot back then and still are using when we implement System Center is look at the Microsoft Operating Framework. Are people of you familiar with the Microsoft Operating Framework? Okay, a few of you. Now, there is a lot of content online, and it's a translation of ITIL version 3 to an operational environment. So in there you can find what governance structures you need to put up to get a grip on your IT organization, what you need to do when you want to handle incidents, and what you want to achieve within your operations to be more effective and be more productive and have lesser incidents so you can meet your SLAs. One part of the operation frameworks within Microsoft Operating Framework is service monitoring and control. The service monitoring and control process is the process of handling incidents. So when an alert comes into Operation Manager, and that alert is just sitting there in the console and nobody is doing anything with it, it's not a good alert. So it needs to be tuned. You have to turn it off, or somebody needs to be responsible for that incident. Because when nobody is responsible for that incident, it needs to be turned off. So every incident that comes in must be accounted for. And the service monitoring and control process will help you make that flow of incidents, so you have the ability to route it, you know who's responsible, and you can report on it, because that's what you need to do when analyzing your information. So one of the other things that I remembered from my days in the Navy, that was it's people, process, technology. The technology needs to be in place, otherwise you couldn't get anywhere, but your people need to be skilled and familiar with the tools, so they need to be trained. IT management should give them the time to really work with that stuff. Otherwise, it's just a big RSS feed of incidents and alerts that nobody cares about. So within a few months or a few weeks, the technology will be turned off. Everybody's saying, it's a crappy product, but it's just not. It's just used in the wrong way. So when you start using that technology in the correct way and you start enabling your IT admins in really using that and taking the advantages the tools can bring you, you're making steps in IT maturity. And IT maturity is not only implementing those tools and the processes, it's also about getting control. When you look at that and you look at the current cloud definitions and the current cloud engagements we do, there's always the elasticity, the usage, the self-service, and the pooled resources. But the part I'm going to discuss now, and I'm going to show you with System Center 2012, with Ops Manager, Service Manager, and Orchestrator, is the control part. You need to get control of your current infrastructure. So on the right side, you see your data center admin, and he got all of these tools available for making his infrastructure up and running and handle it the most easy way. You've got Data Protection Manager, Config Manager for deployment, Operation Manager for monitoring, and Virtual Machine Manager to manage your clouds in the 2012. And when you have those technologies in place, you want to make another step and you want to align your processes with that, and you want to make sure your IT admins and your and even your service desk guys have an insight on what it's doing and how it's going to help you. Next step is connecting all those tools together to make sure that everything that can be automated is automated. Because when it's a manual action, it can be done in different ways. So when you're analyzing your data and it's always another incident, you can't see it's the same incident over and over again. Now, on the left side, you see the consumer. And I think the consumer is the business user, the staff in your organization who wants a burst, wants a line of business application running for them within an organization for them, for their people to do their jobs. You can use a service manager for that to have a business service synchronized from ops manager to service manager to really automate it and have a dynamic insight on what's in that business service. And finally, there's in the left corner, there's App Controller, that's a web view of your clouds and your infrastructure connected to VMM and to Azure. And in the new SP1, it's possible to connect to a hosting provider who is delivering that service for you. One of the last things I want to discuss before I go into a demo with Operation Manager is that you need to know how your service level agreements need to be aligned. A service level agreement is a commitment you make to your business owners on how you deliver your services. But a lot of the time, it's not aligned with the rest of your internal IT organization. Because when you have a business application, you have promised your business owners to give a 99.9% uptime, and that application is dependent on Active Directory. And within your own IT organization, there's no SLA to your business users on Active Directory. But when you're within your own operations, you need an uptime of 95% of Active Directory. That's what normal. So it is never possible to have the uptime for your line of business application because all a depending service has a lower SLA. So that's something that needs to be fixed. For instance, one of the underpinning contracts is a hardware vendor that needs to replace hardware within a few hours from one special application. And when you promise your end user it will be never down for 4 hours and you have a next business day support, that's not aligned. So that's something you really need to look into. And one of the other things that are really important here is that a lot of IT admins, when they're doing monitoring, they all want to have everything real time. But in fact, you need to reflect it on the service level agreement that you have in place with your end users, because when you have a next business day support, you don't need to know every 10 seconds what's going on in your application. The load of your monitoring will be that high that it's not realistic compared to what you're delivering to your end users. So these things are pretty important when you go into line of business application and you want to really create a dynamic infrastructure. So first I want to show you the old infrastructure, the Operation Manager 2007 R2 version. One of the things that was really annoying or really a critical point in this infrastructure was the root management server. That was the master of your management domain. So when something went wrong in that area, your operation for monitoring was down. And how to cluster it is a really complex task, so you want to minimize the risk, and you're doing high availability, you're implementing clustering, and 9 out of 10 times, clustering was the one key point why it failed, because it was so complex. So now when we look into Operation Manager 2012, they've got rid of the root management server. So they create a clustered pool of hardware, which all run the servers, which are completely redundant, which you can run on normal hardware, just the hardware you have in your data center. You take three virtual machines, because it's all supported virtual as well. And you connect your complete infrastructure there to all the databases and all the network devices or all the machines you want to monitor. Okay. Is everybody familiar with Operation Manager 2012 already, or? Okay. We'll do a quick tour. Here on your left, you got all kind of views. And in these folders are all the management packs that are imported into Operation Manager. And they all have their own specific views for that type of for objects. For instance, here is a SQL view. You can see this server has a SQL 2008 database running on it. And there are all kinds of health views. So if you have a SQL team in your organization, you can give them a view. And within these views, they can see what's going on in their SQL environment. They don't need to be full admins. You can just give them a read-only view. When I go to the top, I go into a state view of my complete environment. And here you can see what's up and running at this point on my private cloud laptop here. You can see almost all agents are deployed. They have a Windows operating system up and running. You can see which one is the Active Directory domain controller, which database type is running, and which server is running the Hyper-V in this stack. Okay. On the left, we've got the reporting pane. So if you want to, there are a lot of basic reports in there. When you import the management packs, there are always a few reports in there. And they can be really valuable for evaluating what has happened, what is going on in the infrastructure. So that's one of the first steps that you need to look into what's already in the reporting part, because that can be really valuable. Now here we have the administration pane. Within the administration pane, you can deploy agents to your infrastructure. You can see which management packs you have already imported and which version they are. And you can see which network device are in there. I'm currently running no network monitoring. You can make subscriptions. So when a specific type of alert comes in, you can create an email or a text message going out to the responsible personnel to the responsible person. And you have a definition of user role. So it's completely role-based access. But what I want to do now is I have a line of business application running. It's a social media kind of line of business application. So I will be showing you that I can log into that. And this application is used in my company all the time, because this is the way how everybody is sharing knowledge. Still trying to log on, but... Now, I don't have a lot of friends at this time, so I'll look up a few friends. And there's a lot of people in there, so I just click one, and I want to become friends with him. Okay, the friend request is sent. And now I have to wait until he accepts me or declines me as a friend within my organization. So I know this is up and running. And I want to monitor this. So I'm going to create a synthetic transaction monitor for this web application. So I go into the standard templates that are available on Ops Manager 2012. And it's just a wizard that I can go through within four or five simple steps. I give it a name. It's a Talking Heads application. And I'm creating a new management pack just for that. Next, not filling in any knowledge at this point, but you can also put some knowledge in there, how it works or what you should do when it crashes or something. Okay, next. Now it asks me for a URL, the URL. And I do a test. And the wizard is now testing if it can connect to that website. So your machine that you're running this wizard on needs to have connection to that site as well. So when you're running this from a server, or you're configuring this from an Operation Manager server. Sorry? Oh, yeah, right. Thanks. It probably will fail now. Okay, there it is. 404, trailing S. Test again. It always takes a few seconds. And within a few seconds, it will tell me if it's okay, if it can reach a site, how many milliseconds the DNS query took. and how long the total response time of this site is. So I'm gonna click next. And now I can choose a watcher node. A watcher node is the perspective from where you look at the website. So in my case, there are all servers running locally in my data center or on my private cloud. But if you have an end user that's on a remote hub and you install an agent on that client machine, you can make that client machine your remote watcher node. So you have a real client perspective on how the response times are. This time I will click the domain controller and I will put the query up to 1 minute for the demo purposes. Okay, so the summary is there. And at the bottom you can configure advanced monitoring or record a browser session. When you record a browser session, you can actually do a complete logon to the website. So if you record that session, it has an expected outcome, and it will perform the task every minute, in my example, or every 15 minutes. So you know you can log on to the website, log out, and you have the expected response. So that's real powerful if you want to know if your application is handling everything correctly. Okay, so it's there. Now, I didn't start monitoring yet, so now I want to put it all in perspective by creating a line of business application. I go in the authoring pane, I go to distributed applications. I want to create a new distributed application. Okay, I'm selecting the same management pack as I created for the other the website monitoring. And I'm going to create a completely blank template. There are some templates in there for ASP.NET monitoring and for a standard line of business web application, a three-tier application. And there's also a messaging template. So when you're running Exchange, you can just open the template and you can drag and drop everything in there. So that's really, really neat. Okay, first, I want to add components to this line of business application. And first, I want to start with an object for a server. And it's operating system. And it's a Windows operating system, so. Next component I want to monitor, and I want to have the relationship in with this line of business application monitoring, is the SQL. It's an application component. There it is. Ah, there it is. And it's a SQL database. Next, creating a new component for the website, for the IIS that's running. And it's an IIS website. And as last, I want to use the end user experience. I want to put in the end user experience because that's one of the, from the other views into your line of business application. And there it is. So now I still need to define the relationship, and that's really easy. Just select create relationship and create the end user to web server, website relationship, the website to SQL database, and the SQL database to server relationship. Now, what we do now is that the website is running on the same server, so I create an additional relationship between website and server. Now we need to put in all the objects that are in my monitoring space. And I go into the Windows Server, and it's on the Apps server, so I drag and drop. As you may notice, I cannot put a server object in the SQL component, so it's almost dummy-proof. So that's real easy to put in the right place. Here you've got a database, and I'm monitoring the Talking Heads application. Here it is. Putting in the Talking Heads application, and here is the default website on the app server. And finally, I'm going into the perspective, and I need to have the Talking Heads, and here it is. So now I'm saving this application and I'm saving it to the same XML as I created the end user experience monitoring. Okay, so that's in there. And now you'll see within the distributed applications, it's showing the talking heads application. Going into the distributed apps, and I see it's there, but it's not completely monitored. So at this point, all objects are monitored, and they are in a healthy state, but the relations are not created yet. But I can still show you the application and how it's presented. So I go into a diagram view, and as you can see, it's not aggregated into the complete layer, but you can see that the objects beneath there are already green. So within a few minutes, the complete infrastructure will have the health state of this line of business application. Now, one of the really cool things is that you can just create an image. If you want to have a report or you want to tell somebody, hey, I'm working on this application, it looks like this and this, and you don't have to make your own drawings. You can just save it as a JPEG or as a PNG. And one of the even cooler things, that is you can save it as a Visio. And when you have that Visio and you open it in Visio 2012 Enterprise, you can upload it to SharePoint and you have a connection to the health object. So you can actually put the actual health state of your line of business application into your SharePoint environment within a few simple clicks. And I will show you that in how I do that with Excel in the next demo. So the buttons are already there. Ah, there it is. And here we have the complete line of business application just with a few clicks. Okay, switching back to the... So now we have operation manager up and running. We went from just monitoring objects to a real line of business application with an end user perspective. And we want to collect the data in a central space. So then you can connect up to service manager. Service manager is, are you people familiar what service manager does as a product? Not familiar. Okay. Service manager is a service desk tool where you can register your incidents and manage changes and problems. And in the new 2012 version, you can even create a self-service portal and create a service request connected to Orchestrator. That's one of the things we do a lot right now, and there's a lot of interest in that because it can save tons of time and money. But in the basis, it has a dynamic CMDB where all your data collected from all the system center tools is aggregated. So there's a connector for Configuration Manager, and Configuration Manager and make sure that there are hardware inventories and that your software update and software inventories are in your CMDB. So your software is in one of the CIs. Second, and one of the other connectors is the Operation Manager connector. And Operation Manager has two connectors. One is a CI connector. So all objects, like I just created, will be synchronized over to the CMDB. So you don't have to put it in manually. So you're pretty accurate in what you're actually running and what's in your Configuration Manager database. Now, there's also an Active Directory connector. The Active Directory connector provides you with all the users that are in there, or all Active Directory published printers, and all the groups. So when you select a user, it's actually one of the Active Directory users. And when a new user is created, it will be automatically synchronized. There's also a virtual machine manager connector available and a orchestrator connector. So with Virtual Machine Manager and the Cloud Service Integration Pack, you can manage a demo cloud or a test cloud or a development cloud as one of the CIs with all the related and dependent objects underneath there. And for Orchestrator, all your runbooks can be synchronized to Service Manager as well. So when you create a change, and within that change you have manual and review activities, you can also add a runbook activity. So one of the tasks that's normally done manually can be automated. So here's a more more of an overview of what it really does. On the integration part are all the connectors I just mentioned. Around the configuration manager database, there are a lot of workflows and the possibility for the self-service catalog that can be published to the reporting site, to a SharePoint site, or to with a Silverlight plugin. And there's also an email engine for an Exchange connector, so if an incident is sent to a specific mailbox, it's registered automatically, things like that. So now I want to give you a short tour in Service Manager. Okay, there it is, still an Ops Manager. Here it is, Service Manager. Okay, I'm in the work items view right now, and you can see there is a work item view of the activity management. And as you can see, there are a lot of, there's an activity pane for manual activities, runbook activities, and dependent activities. So you can define standardized activities so they can be performed by a user or need to be reviewed by one of the controllers. Here you can create changes, and here is the incident management part. So when I open that, you will see they're all automatically created incidents which came in from operation manager to service manager. There are a few basic views in where I can show the assigned to me incidents, and if that I was now expecting to have an open incident so I could show you. Oh, there it is. Yeah, the website monitoring really takes a load on the machine. So, okay, here I have a standard incident that's registered through the CI connector. And I can assign it to myself. So it resolved the CIs available in the users. They're all Active Directory users, so it's real easy to find a user and assign it to. And you can see it's the source is Operation Manager, so it's an automatically generated incident. So every time an incident comes in and you have defined that all criticals or all warnings or whatever you define in that connector is synchronized into this tool. I also need to fill in a classification category. And this time I think it's hardware. It's not, but okay. And it shows up in the assigned to me incident. So there are a lot of standard views for that. Now, within the same work item view, there is release management, problem management, and a possibility to create service requests and connect them to the other system center infrastructure bits. Okay, I'm now going into the administration pane and showing you the connectors. I want to show you the operation manager connector. Here it is. I just gave it a name that responds. You have the Operation Manager CI connector name. It's enabled. It's connected to the Ops Manager 2012 server, and it has an operational database account. And here in the bottom, you see which management packs are synchronized. And at this point, the Talking Heads application is not one of them, because Ops Manager and Service Manager are built on the same framework. So the management packs that you find in Ops Manager can be imported in Service Manager as well. So what I need to do to make that connection between the line of business application I just created in Operation Manager, I need to put in Service Manager as well. So first I have to go back to Operation Manager, go in the administration pane, and find the management pack I just saved it in. Here it is, Talking Heads application, export management packs, Mac, one pack. Click OK. Export it successfully. So now I go back into the Service Manager console, and this is Operation Manager. And within the administration pane, you see the same set of management packs. Only there are a few more management packs because the incident flow, the problem management workflows, and the notification also have their own management packs in this environment. So what I want to do now is import the Talking Heads management pack on the C drive. Yes, there it is. And I've opened it up. So when this is imported, and I will go into the Configuration Manager database in just a sec. What you see here are a few warnings because it's not a sealed management pack. Normally, when you have a reference within a management pack, it needs to be in a sealed pack. And in this case, it isn't. That's why it's generating some warnings. Okay. So I go into configuration items. And within configuration item, I can see all my users that are imported through the Active Directory connector. I can show you the all computer view. These are the computers that are in my domain right now. So all CIs are registered within the CMDB. And when I open up one of them, you can see what kind of information is collected just from the Active Directory connector. So how more connected you are, how richer your CMDB experience will be. Okay, here it is. You see that the name is in there, the Active Directory SID is in there, which domain it is in, if it's a virtual machine, yes or no. And you can also see which operating system it's running, where it's installed, and stuff like that. So you got a lot of information right away out of the box without doing a lot of manual labor. If I look into the hardware tab, it's a virtual machine, but you can see which drives are in that machine. Yes. Okay, so now I go into the business service. You want to define which business services are available in your company. And at this point, there are not a lot of them. But here's the Talking Heads application. The one I just imported is over here. So the naming convention, how you call your management pack, is really important here because that's what will be reflected in your business services view. And you can see most of the objects aren't filled in at this point. And you manually need to define who the service owner is, who the service contact is, and who's responsible for that operation. So that's of real importance when incidents come in, so you know who's responsible for that stuff. On the second tab, you see the service components, and at this point there are none. Even if when I have imported the management pack, it's still not showing what's actually in the operation manager console, what we've seen there. So we still need to perform one task. In the service manager console, we go back into the operation manager CI connector. And we have to tell the connector to sync that management pack. So down here, I click refresh, and it will ask me for my credentials. And when I drop down, the Talking Heads management pack should be there. Okay. Now the Ops Manager CI connector will sync all objects that they got the same framework on both sides now. So all the data that's in those management packs will be synced over the Operation Manager connector and will be put into the service, in the business service. Okay, going into the service again. And I think in the next demo I will show you here because that always takes a few seconds. I will try to force the connection. Maybe that will speed it up a bit. Synchronize now, synchronize, submit it. Okay, there it goes. And even though after that there need to be a run book, a run tasks that have to put all the objects in place within the service. So this is a small environment, this goes pretty quick, but when you have a large environment, it will take a bit more time. So you have really, you need to schedule some of these connections. Okay, here's the business service, open the Talking Heads application again. Click refresh. I will come back to this pane in another demo. Okay, next. I want to show you how to analyze some data. And there are a lot of reports available in Operation Manager. But you can also use Excel. And I want to show you how to use Excel and Power Pivot to analyze your data and know what's your top incident. So that's the one you can focus on for the next week. So when you do that every week, within a year, you would have fixed 52 major incidents that will give you a pretty dynamic infrastructure. So you can you can create dashboards, publish them to SharePoint, and you can use Microsoft Excel Power Pivot on your local machine just to analyze your data. And I want to show you that now. Okay, we'll close this down. We'll open Excel. And I go to Power Pivot. When you go to office.microsoft.com, you can download the plugin for that, and it will install a local SQL Express, or if you're already running your own SQL instance somewhere, you can use that one. But open up Power Pivot. There it is. And create a connection to the database. This is my server name, and I want to make a connection to the Operation Manager database. Click Next. Now I've created my own SQL query. There are a lot of SQL queries on the internet. So if you want to have a specific view or you want to import specific data, the SQL queries are all around there. And if you have some skills in creating your own SQL queries, that's fine. You can make the view whatever you want. Click Validate, and it just validated the SQL query to the Operation Manager database. Now I click Finish, and Power Pivot is importing 2,500 rows into my sheet. So now I have a really big Excel sheet, and I want to see what information is doing what and where it's from and which machine does have the problem. So I'm going to make a pivot chart. Click OK. And in that chart, I want to know which problems there are and which events are generating that. So I don't think this is a real... you can see what the top problem is, but you don't know where the top problem is. It's a .NET application monitoring, and that's a synthetic transaction I'm doing all the time. So I'm just selecting the login computer name, and I'm putting that in a slicer. So you have a complete overview of the events happening on all the machines. And with the slicer on the left, you can just select one and see what's happening on that machine. So you've got a real quick insight on where your problem is and which management pack or which problem is generating your top events. So if I look into the... You can just select any server, and you see how many alerts they have and how many events are generated. If you want to have another view of the same data set, you just create a new sheet. I will select the same parameters and the same login computer, so you get some actual numbers in there. Slice it over there. And you can see that the .NET application monitoring is really a problem. So now, I just told you that if you have a Visio chart, you want to publish it to the SharePoint, that's real easy to do. Now I want to show you the same thing for the Excel sheet, and it works the same as it should with Visio. You go to Send and Save, and Save to SharePoint, and from that point, it's all on SharePoint, and when you do that with Visio, it's connected with the Ops Manager backend. So that's really powerful and real easy, so you can share it with everyone within just a few clicks. No, I don't want to save it.
Is that something you can automate, so it'll generate that on a periodic basis?
You mean to refresh the data into SharePoint? You can make live content. So if you can create a query that will have live content in there. There is a synchronization tool for that as well. That's not in there, but that's an additional tool. You can have actual lists of what's going on. So there is a solution for that. Yes. Or you can just generate a report in Operation Manager and can publish that as well. But then you need to create a new report. Okay. I'm hoping that my Talking Heads application has synchronized over the Ops Manager CI connector now. And I go into the service components, and there it is. So if something changes in my application, you've got a dynamic view of the instances that are part of your line of business application. So that, yeah, that is pretty cool, and it saves a lot of time and money keeping that configuration manager database up to date, because that's always a problem in every organization I've been into since I'm in IT. So I think this is pretty cool stuff, and I'm glad it worked. Okay. Next, I've shown you what my top incident is. And I first want to tell you a bit about Orchestrator. Okay, System Center Orchestrator, who's already familiar with that? Okay, did you actually build a lot of runbooks already, or? Okay, it's a really cool tool. It's a kind of a steep learning curve at the beginning, but when you really get the hang of it, it's really easy to use, and it's just like working in Visio with a database. So what it does, it integrates your products within the System Center suite, but not only that. It can integrate with Active Directory, Exchange, or every other integration pack that's available. There are a lot of community packs as well. So when you go to the Codeplex, you can find a whole bunch of integration packs that you can help to automate your stuff in your organization. And of course, the basic integration packs are there for Ops Manager, Configuration Manager, DPM, Service Manager, and all that stuff. If we look into the automation concept, they're all activities in the integration packs, and you can drag and drop the activities from the integration pack into the designer console, and from that designer console you can create connection between the activities. Those connections are the runbooks, are the data. Those connections are the database, the data flow between the activities. So if you get some information in activity one, you make a connection to activity two. In activity two, you can use the same data that's on the database there. So that's really powerful. You don't need to work with strange variables, and it's just at a mouse click away to have that data in your next activity. And there are a lot of standardized activities, so it's a real rich environment, and I want to show you the orchestration now. Okay? First, I want to show you how to import an integration pack. Oh, good one. First, I want to show you how to import an integration pack. And I start by showing you that it's not there. This is the orchestrator console. On your left, you have your groups and your runbooks. And I've imported some basic runbooks that are available online. So that's a good indication how you should create a runbook and how it's used and how it works. So that's pretty cool stuff to use in, just test and play around with before you go into your production environment and actually start automating stuff. And on your right side, you see all the integration packs. So now I've imported the Data Protection Manager pack, the Operation Manager pack, and all these standard activities are in here. But there's no Exchange pack, and I want to do some stuff with Exchange as well. So. I go over to my orchestrator machine, and I start a deployment manager. And in the deployment manager, I can see which integration packs are available. Now, there's no Exchange integration pack in there, and there is a really cool community pack for Exchange. And I want to have it in here because I want to increase mailbox size, and I want to, when I create a user automated, I also want to create a mailbox, and I want to have the ability to extend this mailbox size. So, okay, next, it is in there, and now the Exchange integration pack is integrated there. But I still have to publish it to the consoles. Not every console, you can make a selection of integration packs you publish to a specific console. So if somebody uses Active Directory and user provisioning, you don't have to provide them with the Operation Manager integration pack, for instance. But that's more in the line of the role-based access that you can provide with the tool. So I'm going to my Hyper-V console, and there's no Exchange there. And on my local machine, there's no Exchange there. So deploy integration pack to Runbook Designers. I select the Exchange Management pack. I click Next, and I say localhost. Click Add, and I click OK. Now it will deploy the integration pack to the console, and in a few seconds I'm able to use that. I'm now opening up the runbook designer that I showed you earlier. And here's the Exchange integration pack. So all the standardized activities that are created in that integration pack are here. So if you want to dismount a database or enable a mailbox, it all can be done automatically. But when you go, when you have imported the Operation Manager integration pack, there are still a few steps you need to configure to make Orchestrator aware of where the Operation Manager environment is. So when you have just imported the integration pack for Operation Manager, you go into Options, and within Options you see the Operation Manager. I go in there and you see I have created a connection between the Operation Manager environment and the Orchestrator environment. I click Edit, I click Test Connection, I just put in my username and password there, make the connection to the server. And 9 out of 10 times this will, first time when you install it, this will give you a problem. There will be a critical error because you need to have the Operation Manager console installed on that server. So that's one of the key things that's almost missed every time. When you're making a connection from the Orchestrator server to Operation Manager, install the Operation Manager console. Otherwise, this would fail and it will give you a strange error message. So that's a good thing to remember. Okay, finish. Now, I want to create a runbook to fix that service. I investigated my problem a bit more, and I've seen that it's a problem with the web service. So I want to create a new runbook. Fix website. And I wanted to collect the information from Operation Manager every 60 seconds. Okay, 60. Next, I wanted to look in Operation Manager to see which alert it needs to respond to. So I make a connection between the timed event and the get alert. And I now have to make a connection to my Operation Manager infrastructure. So here's my connection I previously defined. And I want to add some criteria to that get alert. One of the first I want to do is that I want to register all incidents in Service Manager. So that connector needs to be in place. And when an alert is generated in Ops Manager and synced to Service Manager, there's always a ticket ID. So the ticket ID needs to contain IR, otherwise there's no registration of the incident in Service Manager. Next, I want to know the severity, and that's a critical, only on a critical error. I want to import this and run this runbook. The next one is the resolution state. And it's collecting the data of the resolution state from Operation Manager. And I only want to respond on new incident because existing incidents are not really interesting anymore. They need to be fixed or escalated already. And last but not least, copying in some data. The name of the incident. So I go into the incident name, contains, and I click OK. So now, every 60 seconds, the timed event looks at the Operation Manager and says, do you have an incident with these criteria? And if it does, it puts it into Orchestrator to fulfill its tasks. So the first thing I want to do is update the incident then. Because I want the service desk and the Operation Manager guys to know that the alert is being handled by Orchestrator. I open it up, create the Ops Manager connection again, and I need to have a unique ID for running this bunch of data through all the activities. So I'm looking into the published data source, and here you can see that now it's only one activity that's in there, and you can see all the information available. When I go into the next activity, you see I can select data from all the previous activities. I'm going into, I want to have the unique ID there, and I want to select some fields. I want to fill in the owner and the resolution state. The resolution state should change from new to pending because somebody's handling this incident. And I want the ops manager guys and the people in the service desk, that orchestrator is handling this. Okay, I click finish.
Are you telling service manager there that orchestrator is handling the incident?
It depends on how you configure that, but I now tell operation manager that it needs to have an ID generated on the connector between operation manager and service manager. So I'm not using orchestrator at this point to update the event in service manager and then pull it from ops manager, but I tell ops manager to look if that event is already generated in service manager. So you can make different connections. Service manager doesn't need to be the only one connecting to the other product, so that's a choice. So now I've updated the alert. And I want to really start a service. So I want to run a program. I put it in here. Create the connection again. And I open it up. I want to execute the program. And I want to have the server name that's in the event. So I go to update alert or go to get alert. And there's my information that I want to use for fixing the problem. I want to have the NetBIOS computer name that's in the incident, so I click OK. So that's the only variable type you will use. Just put it off the service bus and put it in here. Now I want to run the program. OK. I just want to perform a net start on the server, and it's the web service, and this is my working directory, so okay. So now I have an activity. When an incident pops in, orchestrator will look at it every 60 seconds, and that incident will have the action that the web service will be started again. But now, when it's done successfully, I want the alert to be updated or to be closed. So I go in here, close alert, and I'm making the connection between the program, the run program, and the closed alert. Still have to make the operation manager connection, otherwise it doesn't know where it is. Using the unique ID, and as you can see here, the data bus is getting larger and larger. So all the data collected, previous activities, is in here. I go to updated alert, and I'm selecting the unique ID again. The selected field is resolution state. Click OK. And the resolution state is closed because I fixed the problem.
Was your information from your get alert automatically transferred to the update alert just because you specified that ID?
Yes. And when the connection is in place, all the data is available on the next activity. So my alert is closed because I fixed the problem. But there's also a possibility that it's not fixed. So I need to update alert to escalate it to the second tier. So tier 2. And I'm making a connection from the program to the second tier. Now I go into the link between the activities. And this link needs to be enabled when it's unsuccessful. So I put in failed. And when the program fails, it will update an alert, only the update will be different this time. It needs to be red, so you know that's the fail. I will update this with the green color, so in the runbook you have a good understanding when it goes wrong and when it goes the right way. So we have to make a connection to Ops Manager again, publish the data. I'm looking into the update alert, get the ID, select the field, and select the resolution state. There I go. And this time I want the resolution state to be tier 2. So when this runbook is run and the activity fails, the operation manager alert will be updated from new pending to tier 2, And that will be synchronized over to Service Manager. So in the Service Manager console, they will be able to see that it's a tier 2 incident. It became a tier 2 incident, so it's not a pending or a closed incident. So that team can take the appropriate action or the manual task that they need to fulfill. Okay, so now I have my runbook in place, and I just want to fix the problem. So I do a check-in, and now it looks if the runbook is okay, and I started runbook. As we've seen before, I have the trying to open the Talking Heads website so I can bring it down. Here we go. Here it is again. It's up and running. I quickly go in the Operation Manager console so I can. This is the local view, I don't need it. I'm going into the Operation Manager monitoring pane so I can stop the web servers and see if the event is properly handled. Okay, there it is. I go into Windows computers. So I go into the apps computer and I'll open the remote console there. Everything's starting to slow down because of the 1 minute interval on monitoring the website. Okay. Open the tasks. Yes, there it is. Computer management. I'm making a connection to the apps machine. Stopping the web service for the Talking Heads website. So, okay, that is stopped. When I look into Internet Explorer now, I do a refresh, and the website isn't there. So now I go into the alert view of Operation Manager, and there are a lot of performance alerts there because, yeah. And within a few seconds, there will be an alert, IIS website is unavailable. There it is. And as you see here, there's no ticket ID available yet. So it means that there is an incident, but it's not registered in Service Manager yet. So I think it will take about 1 minute to actually get that incident ticket in there. Yes, sir?
I had a question. Do you have to rerun the check in Ops Manager to make sure the site is up and running?
No. No, at this point, I don't have. Yeah, it's a possibility, yeah, for sure. But at this point, it's just this website's not up and running. I'm generating an incident. When that incident is registered in Service Manager and detected with Ops Manager, the runbook will start. So you can do a double check, or you can make a combination of monitors. Say the server state needs to be unhealthy, or a website needs to be down, or stuff like that. So. Yes, it is. You can have multiple watcher nodes looking at the same website, or you can look or do a recheck within the state view to see if that's up and running. And you can do that with there it is. Oh, it's already gone. Sorry for that. So now, when I do a refresh, the runbook runs really quick. So. When I press F5, the website's already up and running. So my orchestrator runbook just seen the alert, it was updated, it was synchronized to service manager, orchestrator knows, it's updated to pending, it's fixing the problem, it was a successful fix, so it closed the alert, and that was the point where the alert was gone. Yes?
Just because I don't know operations manager real well, once it finds the site is down on a certain 60-second queue, it creates an alert. Is that alert, the next time it finds it down, another 60-second, is another alert generated, or is that
no. There's only a repeat counter. The same alert will stay active, and there is a repeat counter behind that ticket.
Okay.
So that the repeat counter will be 15 or 30 when you come in the morning when your website has crashed. So there's not a complete screen full with new alerts. There's just one alert with a repeat counter behind that you see, hey, this incident happened 18 or 20 times.
So that's where you can just have three or two on those.
Yeah, for instance.
Can we see that incident in the service manager?
Yeah, of course. I will go into the service manager console. Here was the run book. Ops manager, service manager. I go into work items. First, I'm going to disable the monitoring of the website because otherwise it really gets slow. Yeah, I know. But when it's up and running, it's up and running. So that's not a big problem. That's zero load. Only when it stops down, it will see the event and alert, and then it will kick in. So that's not a big problem.
I guess.
Yeah, this is this demo environment has a domain controller and a line of business application. Ops manager, service manager, and orchestrator running on the same machine. And that's normally when you go into a customer, they have a complete 42-inch rack only for running these incidents in a complete environment. So sometimes when you're running a demo on your laptop, it's a bit shaky. And one of the tasks that can really input your good usage of your operation manager infrastructure is the line of business web application monitor. That takes up quite some resources for such a small machine. So I'm opening up the incidents, and I go to the all incidents queue. The performance really increased, jumping from Operation Manager 2007. The upgrade to R2 really increased the performance as well. But going over to the 2012 version, it's even better and more stable. So it's not, I almost never see flaws anymore in that area. Okay, you can see here, it's 4 minutes ago. ES website is unavailable, it's already resolved. There was a priority based on the operation manager template in there, and you can see what the target resolution time was because of the priority, and you can see where it's last modified. We'll go in there. Okay, so here's the incident. It's already a closed incident, and all the information that was synchronized. Here you see what component is one of the related CIs because of the connection that is made between Ops Manager and Config Manager. Ops Manager, Service Manager.
And where did it say it was resolved by Orchestrator?
I don't think that's. That should be available here as well. That's a good question. I can't tell you that at this point. I don't know. In Ops Manager, you can see that.
Do you go to the resolution tab?
Oh, okay. No, it's not resolved. It's closed because it syncs by the connector. So that's a different way of closing it. Normally, when you close an incident, you first need to go to resolve, and then you go to closed within Service Manager. But when it's done through the connector, it seems to be done in an other fashion. So
is that because we had Orchestrator tell Operations Manager that the ticket was, or that the incident was closed, rather than having Operations Manager communicate to Service Manager?
Yes. No, it is operation manager and service manager that are communicating at this for this incident. And when we have told orchestrator to update the incident in service manager, then you could set this variable as well. But now, because we've done it through ops manager, I think that's where the flaw is in this example.
I'm just thinking that I'd love a report of everything that got fixed automatically.
There are KPI reports of all incidents. So you can look into the ops manager site on the operation manager and the database, but you can find it in service manager as well. So I think it's the tuning of the template. When an incident comes in through the CI connector, or through the alert connector, sorry for that. When an incident comes in from ops manager to service manager through the alert connector, you can define a template based on, for instance, a management pack. So you can make a selection for instance, SQL, and make a template for that's assigned to a specific set of users. And when you set a variable that you can indicate that this user or that user has done that, you can show that it's an automatic one or not automatic one. So that's a process you have to play with to make it your own process and let it help for you. Yes, sir.
Which incident do you have on the top? What does that mean?
That's one of the other incidents, because I stopped at the web services. There are a bit more incidents generated than just the only one EES website not available. Because I always have the watcher note experience, and that's also failed. So it's generating two incidents or three incidents for the same application. So that's why the top incident is there as well. But it's closed automatically as well when solving it. Okay. I just want to show you one more orchestrator runbook to let you show that you're not limited to just one easy workflow. I've created the same reset for the web service: get alert, update the alert, start a single website. So it looks into the alert to see if it's one of the 10 websites under the default website. If that fails, it tries to start the web service, and even when that fails, it will restart the complete web services to make sure that the web service is up and running again. And when that fails, the incident is updated and probably escalated to a second tier. So you can create a real long workflow just to make sure your incidents are fixed nice and easily, and you in the end you can look what's fixed, and if it's a structural problem, you need to address it. Okay, so finally, what we just did, you have to make it a process. Keep analyzing your data, keep making time to document your problems and how to fix them. So make sure not only the three IT admin gods that are in your company can do that. You must make sure that the first tier and the second tier also can pick up these kind of tasks. And when they do, and they can completely write out what the actual solution is, you can start automating that, saving you tons of time, money, and making sure you're meeting your service level agreements just by fixing the problems. Okay. Now, one of the advice we normally give, take the top three, do an analysis at starting every week. Start with the top three and start fixing those incidents. Most of the time, that's more than 60 to 80% of your most incoming alerts at Ops Manager when it's not tuned correctly. So you will make real big steps the first few months. And after that, you will have a really robust and almost dynamic, completely dynamic infrastructure. Okay, I hope I met the goals and objectives and made you realize that some of these steps are really necessary to go from the object monitoring, just fighting fire in your infrastructure, to a dynamic environment similar to a private cloud. Next step, I think, when you have that infrastructure in place and you have all your system center stuff up and running, is look into self-service. You can use Service Manager to provide you a really cool front end, creating self-service requests, deploying servers in all kinds of ways, and really reducing your time and investment in helping the rest of your organization have that infrastructure. Okay, you can find all resources online. If you fill in your evaluation, you can get a prize, so please do. Let me know what you think of this session, and I want to thank you very much for visiting this session and being here. Thank you very much.